must realize that thought cannot go deeper.
No, thought cannot go deep, full stop.
Yes.
But thought thinks it can because it has gone deep into the function.
Yes. As function has a certain kind of depth.
Of course.
Chronological depth.
Well, also a structural depth.
Structural.
Many kinds of depth.
Yes.
They have a certain beauty and this.
Yes.
But at the same time, this is of an entirely different order than anything that has ever appeared
as
function.
But it's sort of, can one say that it has a certain reflection of the other?
No.
Because that's why we look for the other.
No, it's not. Let's get this. You see,
it's very tricky.
Yes. I know.
Well, it looks as if it has.
Yeah. We begin to say, what is the function of thought? We haven't yet divided as utility and non-utility.
This we don't need to.
What is the function of thought? Obviously, to act. Then we say, at what level, at what area must it act? Right, sir? We say, though, it is necessary thought as action should take place in this area. But it is not necessary in the other. Why do we say that? We say that it's not necessary because thought in itself is a mere reaction, a mere response of a thing which has happened.
Well, we'd say even logical thought is of that nature.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's where how this analogy to the microphone comes in. You see that the microphone responds to the sound wave in a similar way. It merely responds to the sound wave.
Yes.
Which is the primary action.
So I say to myself, I see that very clearly. And thought cannot possibly go and discover something which is not of its own nature. Right, sir? So I won't let... I've understood that.
Yes, well, let's put it that there may be a certain amount of confusion. Sometimes it appears that thought can go beyond a mere response. Do you see a mere... what do you call it? Reaction. Yes, that, for example, in scientific thought or in mathematical thought, one may actually create a language, you see, with a structure, which actually...